to the Points to Podiums podcast. I'm Lori Hemmett.
I'm Nolan Hemmett.
And I'm Callan Nealon.
And we are back for season two, and it feels so good to be back. 2023 is here. Woohoo!
Yes.
Today, we will be previewing all 10 teams ahead of the season opener in Bahrain. Who looks good, who looks bad, and everything in between. Also, we will be throwing in our general predictions for the season, and there are some new faces around the paddock, and can't wait to see who comes out on top. Let's get started and preview the new year in Formula One.
New year,
Woo-hoo!
New F1.
2023.
Let's go.
Let's go. Super, so excited.
Super happy.
And talking about new, it's a lot new.
A lot of new faces.
A lot of new faces.
Mm-hmm. A lot of new team principals, a lot of new drivers. A lot of stuff to get excited about this year, for sure.
Yeah.
Let's just go down the order. Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez for Red Bull. They don't change a thing. Why would they need to? We don't need to talk about them. Why would they need to change
anything? They're going to dominate. Let's just be honest.
Adrian Newey created a monster again this year. So not much to talk about there.
It'll be interesting, though. Yeah. There is a little bit to talk about because it will be interesting to see what happens with Perez. And is he going to challenge right away Fast and Furious? That's like not, I didn't really mean to make that reference.
But no pun intended.
No pun intended.
Pun intended.
Why not? Throw in a Fast and Furious reference.
Throw in a Fast and Furious reference.
It will be. It'll be Fast and Furious between Max and Sergio. I mean, Sergio's got everything to prove. He's not on the hot seat, I would say, but I mean, he needs to be impressive in this car. He needs to be at the top pretty much every time. If Max can do what he can do, Sergio should be not just as capable, but
it's Max
just
Verstappen.
It's Max Verstappen. It's so Max, like, you have to put them on their own pedestals. But
yeah,
the Red Bull's going to be so dominant, just like it was last year. I mean, you see improvements already. If we're improving from last year, then I think we all know who the favorite is.
Yeah. I think it would be hard to bet against Red Bull at this point.
Yeah, the runner-ups, Ferrari, looking to make another launch for that title. We'll see if they can do it. Just the Red Bulls just look really fast right now in training or testing. Ferrari gets a new team principal in Frederic Vasseur, a familiar face from Alfa Romeo, gets the promotion from the junior team to the senior team. Well-deserved, I think. Mercedes, Lewis Hamilton, George Russell, nothing changes there. Toto Wolff still being Toto Wolff in his black turtleneck.
Yeah.
Alpine team, we have an all-French lineup except an American Otmar Szafnauer, Romanian American Otmar Szafnauer. Pretty good episode in Drive to Survive about him this season. But yeah, Pierre Gasly takes over that seat for Fernando Alonso. Be interesting to see that.
Here. I have to decide that I'm going to be an Alpine fan instead of an AlphaTauri fan because I got to follow my boy Pierre.
So it's you and Gasly.
I know. Can't separate you.
He's my
boyfriend. My Formula One boyfriend.
McLaren, there's a lot of change going on in McLaren. Lando Norris, and obviously the whole Oscar Piastri situation that happened last year between Alpine and McLaren. And then Andrea Stella comes from Ferrari, been around the paddock for 20 plus years or so. He's a solid guy who's an engineer. We'll get more into him later. Valtteri Bottas, Guan Yu Zhou, and then Alfa Romeo has kind of elected to not really go with a traditional team principal. I just wrote down a name because I got to fill out the table in my sheet. So Alessandro Alunni Bravi, he's the guy who I guess answered the questions from the Alfa Romeo side of things, but they've kind of stuck with their driver's lineup, which is Valtteri Bottas and Guan Yu Zhou. Hopefully they're a little stronger this year. I think they will be, especially with their looks like the Alfa Romeo actually have a pretty good package this year. And then Aston Martin, we have Lance Stroll and Fernando Alonso. After Seb retires, Fernando Alonso takes his place, and then Mike Crack is still the leader over there. Haas, we have the new driver pairing of Kevin Magnussen and Nico Hülkenberg. After firing Mick Schumacher, he takes a reserve role in the Mercedes paddock.
Good to see Nico back on the grid for the whole season. Definitely. That's exciting for sure.
Yeah. Didn't he get some points last year when what's his bucket couldn't get any points?
But well, he just happened to be ahead of
what's that guy's name?
Latifi.
How soon we forget.
How do we forget
the goat? How do you forget Goat Tiffy? It's been a long time. It's been such a long off season, right?
I know. Those 2 months went
right.
And then Gunther Steiner being just Gunther Steiner in season five, it's like he's more Gunther Steiner than I think ever in season five. It's pretty hilarious. But yeah, looking pretty good for Haas. So excited to see what Kevin and Nico can do in the new Haas car. AlphaTauri, Yuki Tsunoda, and the long-awaited Nyck de Vries. Dude's a stud. Yuki's going to be...
Fighting for his life, basically.
Yuki would be a little nervous, I think, because Nick, Yuki and Gat and Pierre were pretty tight buds, and Nick is kind of... He's a little more chop-chop, a little more hardened. I think a great... I can't remember who said it, but he's like a seasoned rookie is what somebody described him as. I think that's a perfect description of who Nyck de Vries is. And then Franz Tost, seasoned guy. He leads that ship over at AlphaTauri. And then Williams, big changes at Williams. Alex Albon stays after a pretty solid performance last year. Yeah. Can't really ask much more from Alex Albon in that Williams car. And then Logan Sargeant comes in.
Ooh, yay, USA.
A little more American money. Haven't seen an American since 2015. Happy to see a new American.
Couldn't be more American than Logan Sargeant, saying.
That's a pretty American name. And then...
Sargeant.
Yep. The new team principal over there is Mr. James Vowles. He's actually... I'm pretty excited about Williams can do for... Or what James Vowles can do for Williams. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Let's just go into a little more depth. That was just kind of the rundown of what we're going to be looking at. Red Bull, the most dominant performance last year. They are looking pretty strong in testing. Really boring car reveal. I don't know if you guys saw the car reveal.
Yeah, it looks the same to me.
God, it was really boring.
Here you go.
They spent an hour talking to like Red Bull athletes who had nothing to do with Formula One. And then they like the last, I mean, we all know what the Red Bull's going to look like. Just show the freaking Red Bull for God's sakes. They talked to Christian Horner who, God, I don't know. Christian just seems like such a slime ball to me. He's just like, you know, he just talks out of his ass.
Sometimes. He's definitely a talker. Yeah. And he's definitely, yeah.
I get that it's Red Bull and like, yeah, your car is going to look how it always looks because you're such a staple. Mm-hmm. But just change something.
Just
make it a little exciting. Some little color scheme. You got a few different colors to work with. Just give us something.
I know.
If it ain't broke, do not fix it. That's the old Helmut Marko way.
Yeah, that's true. But also, you were talking earlier before we started just about the weight of the car and different, you know, some paint options for some of these cars just to kind of...
Like the overall trend is the saving weight as much as you can. And a lot of these teams have kind of elected to do a lot of different things. One of the small changes that they've done is put less paint on the car. It means less weight, more bare carbon. Not bare carbon, they do, you know, obviously... make that a little smoother for the aero, but yeah, just less paint. It saves about, I think, a couple ounces, maybe, or about around there.
That's crazy.
Every little ounce counts. But yeah, I mean, I think this year is going to be a pretty tight fight for the midfield, especially. So any tiny minute change that a team can do is going to be appreciated. And it's not like really Red Bull have to worry about much. There's not a lot of bare carbon on that car. There's some below the side pods, but there's a lot of things that are still exactly the same. And Adrian Newey is, you know, proven himself as one of the best car designers in F1 for 15 years. So I think they've created another monster. They have seemed to put down the pretty fast times in testing. They didn't even use the C5, which is the softest compound. They use the C4, and they were able to get about 2/10 faster than anybody else. Looking a lot.
I mean, I just want it even to be a more good
so.
Season.
I think even more so. They're a little more pacey. So really? They have, even with their whole dispute last year with going above the cost cap and losing a bit of wind tunnel time, it looks like that doesn't matter at all. But this is, granted, this is big disclaimer here. This is just testing. We don't know everything in testing. You can't really base your predictions off testing. But Red Bull is seeming to do a lot of things that they're known to do, which is dominate and dominate and dominate. And that is probably what, sources, you know, point to another dominant. I'm not a betting man, but Max Verstappen is looking a little bit, you know.
If Max Verstappen is the one to beat, then can Charles Leclerc do it?
I mean, anyone can. Not anyone, but you know, Ferrari, they've got a couple new guys on that team. The
Their principal's new.
Yeah, principal new.
So maybe they'll have a new strategy, because that strategy last year, we complained about that like pretty much every race.
So they have a lot of new staff on the Ferrari team. The new head of strategy, his name is Robin Jain. He is not really too, I think he provides kind of like an outside perspective on motorsport, because he's not really seasoned in motorsport per se, but he is a very smart individual, and he's got all the degrees to back it up. So I think that Fred Vasseur has obviously a really good driver lineup, and I think he's going to have a pretty good car to work with like usual. It's just going to, buttoning up those mistakes from last year is going to be one of the biggest threats to him and his title chances for next year or for this year.
Interesting.
Yeah, so repetitive with the mistakes last year. That number one spot could have been so much tighter in the end if things kind of went the way that they did at the beginning of the season. But just some small things, some crashes, of course, could really, you know, excel Ferrari up towards that front position consistently throughout the rest, like the entire season, instead of just flashes here and there. So obviously that's what we hope to see. You want to see a super tight battle like we did in 2021 and 22, that season right there. So hopefully Ferrari, Mercedes can consistently compete with that Red Bull, what we just talked about, which is obviously going to be dominant. So hopefully we get some consistency out of Ferrari this year.
Ferrari are gonna have Monaco circled on their calendar, trying to get Charles Leclerc his final win there. I mean, just we'll see what the Ferraris do. I mean, there's not really much other than to say, but you know, I mean, we know what the competition is for the Ferraris, and they're going to be looking to shoot for that, and it's a little bit of a mountain to climb, but I think they have moved in a direction that they can make, well, if not chip at it, but make strides towards the places where they want to be. So
I just hope they can keep their engines running and make good decisions on the track. Because it seemed like last year there was a lot of obstacles in that areas.
Fred Vasseur is not a guy to BS. He's a guy who's going to want results pretty quickly. And not to say Matteo Binotto wasn't, but I think Fred Vasseur suits what Ferrari needs right now. And that's going to be a level-headed guy who's not going to take a lot of crap. Especially from the drivers or from his strategy team or whatever. I mean, this is a results business, and if you're not producing results, then you deserve to be somewhere else.
Yep.
So I think a little bit of a refreshing, not restart for Ferrari, but kind of a new direction that I think is going to be well received for Ferrari fans in the future.
Yeah. Hopefully exciting. Hopefully an exciting new start for sure. So.
Yeah.
And I could be talking to my ass right
now.
Well,
I mean, you could be. We all could be. We're just,
it's,
you know,
so
what
easy
a thing
to be optimistic.
I know. I am very, very, very curious what is going to happen in the Mercedes garage.
That is a huge question to ask this year.
George looked so good last year at the end of the season in particular. And Lewis came on too, but, you know, started so slowly.
I think my opinion on 2023 or 2022 for Lewis especially, Russell is a guy who can pretty much get in any car and do pretty well with it. I mean, we know that from his Williams days. He was a really strong competitor even in a freaking Williams. And I think he was just able to cope with the downsides of that Mercedes car for last year. I think a lot of people were saying that Lewis, really embarrassing for Lewis to lose to his teammate, but I mean, Lewis was a guy who I really respect. I mean, obviously I really respect, but even more so after last year, because he was trying, he was putting in the hours, putting in the, while Russell was getting those consistent P5s, I mean, Hamilton was really the guy doing work. I mean, I think a lot of people say that, oh, Lewis Hamilton is only the car underneath him. But I think that easily was proven wrong last year.
Easy to say when you're not Lewis Hamilton, right? When you're watching from afar.
Right.
But he was the one who given most of the data to the guys to build this car for this year. And I think Lewis Hamilton is going to want some points back for last year. And he's going to have a point to prove and a little chip on his shoulder for this year. So I'd if this car is good enough, and I think it will be, maybe not right away, but along the lines of, you know, because Mercedes are great upgrade packages. Maybe not right away this car is going to be great, but this is going to be a car to look out for very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. With that being said, just along those lines, my gut feeling tells me maybe not right away, but this Mercedes is going to be right there for the rest of the season once they get their feet wet, get back into it. You saw what happened at the end of last season. They obviously made improvements. So my gut feeling this whole time leading up to this season has told me that Mercedes is going to be right there like they usually are, and hopefully creating a very exciting top.
And they're, you know, they're still confident in that side pod design, of that really slim side pod design that nobody else did. I think a lot of people are expecting the total overhaul from the Mercedes team, but that's not the case. They were,
well, they finally figured out how to get rid of all the porpoising, so
that was the trouble. A lot of team, pretty much every team has figured out, I guess every team has pretty much figured out how to fix the porpoising issue, which is good. I don't want to see the drivers get out when they're back and they can't walk.
Oh, that was so hard to watch when Lewis Hamilton got out of that car that race. I can't remember which one it was.
So I'm glad that that's been fixed for every team. But the weight distribution for, I mean, the Mercedes looks great.
I was just going to say, I'm really excited that they're back to their like super dark gray, black livery.
It kind of works with them because, you know, the whole weight saving technical trend that's going on right now. Like, I mean, the W12 2 years ago was black. So might as well get this one black.
Just gives you those vibes from a couple of years ago. Look out for Mercedes.
Look out. I know. Watch out.
Yeah, I would definitely, if I had Red Bull or a Mercedes, Toto Wolff is probably in his office. He's got a dartboard. He's got Christian Horner on it. And he's throwing
you
darts.
Know he does.
He's throwing darts at Christian Horner. You know that.
You know he does.
So he's, I mean, wouldn't Toto Wolff is a guy you don't want to mess around with. But yeah, no. expectations are extremely high for this Mercedes team, and I think they're going to be able to match some of that stuff and even extend on some of the predictions that people have been making. So really excited to see what they can bring to the title fight for this year.
Yeah,
me too.
And especially if the car is improved from last year, which it obviously should be, it's really exciting to see how George and Lewis will go against each other, who will place higher than the other in certain races. I mean, there's a lot of kind of unknowns. I mean, obviously we know Mercedes will be up there, but it's kind of like, which driver, how dominant will they be? Will they be back to the point where they can actually beat Red Bull consistently? So I'm really excited for the Mercedes. That's kind of like my main thing that I'm looking forward to seeing here at the beginning of the season.
Exciting. And then there's the French.
The all-French team, the Alpine squad, sticking with that blue and pink. Actually, it doesn't look, it grew on me last year.
I like
year.
It.
Looks pretty good this year. A lot more black on the car, obviously, because the whole technical trend of losing
Gonna have
weight.
To get me a pink t-shirt.
Maybe you get a pink t-shirt for...
I don't really want to be an Alpine fan. I just want to root for Gasly. Like, how do I do that?
Well, you can get his merch.
Yeah, I'll get his merch.
Able to beat up McLaren late last season because McLaren just...
Oh, they tanked.
Did not... I mean, they just had an up and down season the entire year. Did not look good.
It's just sad because McLaren should be right there.
Yes.
You know, they really should be.
Yep.
But...
Alpine seem to have a quick car, though. I mean, they're obviously going to be wanting P4, and they're going to be that's what they expect, P4 now. And now they're going to be wanting to try to get some podiums or try to get after those top three teams. So how they're going to do that, who knows? Otmar's probably got some sort of plan, but Gasly and Ocon is a very exciting driver lineup for them this year.
It is. Gasly's such an aggressive driver, and
they both are.
Really is.
Ocon
too,
is a ruthless driver.
Yeah. Well,
we know that from Drive to Survive.
Least favorite.
And Gasly is a team leader for AlphaTauri. He has a spotty reputation for jumping up to senior teams and having a bigger opportunity. We know that from Red Bull a few years back. Didn't do the best in that car, but it's a Red Bull, so we'll give him credit for that. Gasly is kind of an open book right now. I mean, who knows what he's going to do? Obviously, he's going to want to compare himself to his teammate. But I think Ocon has that edge of being in the team a lot longer than him and having that experience in that drive.
Yeah, and you mentioned Gasly with the Red Bull, but you also consider the fact that it's been 3 more years of experience for Gasly as well now on the grid. So what can he bring to the team as well? with those with that experience now. So,
but yeah, it looks like it's going to be a tighter midfield fight for Alpine. Not to say that it was easy last year against that McLaren, but you know, signs point to this. I mean, this car has to be obviously better than last year, but it's going to be interesting to see what Ocon and Gasly can do. I will predict that they are going to have a little bit of beef in between. They might even crash into one another, just because
they're so competitive. They're both, yeah,
they're kind of enemies from previous. That's previous interesting. Years.
That's a second set of enemies on the same team. We'll talk about another set later.
Yeah, I feel like they might have some beef in the year that Otmar might have to figure out. Just my prediction of them having some beef, then taking points away. So I don't know. I think they're both ranked as pretty high talent drivers, and I think they're both ranked in the same category as a driver. So that might be where things might butt heads for the Alpine team. But
well, hopefully they can manage it, because it's about getting points, and they can't take each other out. We learned
you know,
that
they're both race winners, yep. And you know, this Alpine car looks to be pretty good, and you know, maybe they didn't get a podium last year, but you know. We know from races like Silverstone or Hungary that things can go crazy pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if Alpine are fourth, or if they're up in that midfield fight and they've got guys like Alcon and Gasly, that they might be able to, yeah. to string together some good form or some podium places every now and then.
Yeah. And how much more motivating to beat McLaren, given the Piastri situation and everything as well. So they're going to have that on their shoulder. Right up against McLaren, and interesting to see how that plays out throughout the season as well.
Yeah,
and
speaking of McLaren.
Yeah. And Drive to Survive, they make McLaren look like kind of an enemy, which granted, Zach Brown did take away Piastri away. Piastri also looks like an enemy because, you know, Alpine did invest like $5 million in his development, and he just... stabbed him in the back and
such dramatic
he
fashion
actually
too.
And went to an inferior team
in
McLaren.
Interesting.
And you know, Daniel Ricciardo loses his seat.
What's Daniel Ricciardo gonna be doing? Is he doing anything? He's chilling? What's he doing?
He's the third reserve driver for Red Bull.
Oh, that's right. I knew that. That was a dumb question. Sorry, everybody out there.
Okay.
I do know
Shake
what I'm
off
talking
the
about.
Off-season.
Yeah. I know. The off-season. Gonna get rid of the dust. I knew that. Dang it.
I'm worried about this McLaren.
I'm
really worried about this car. It does not look good right now. Both Norris and Oscar didn't even. I don't think they reached 50 laps a day for one of the 3 days at all during testing. I could be wrong about that, but they had some low lap times. They had some low lap counts. They were struggling with their winglets. Are their wheel brows, which is a little,
lid
above the wing to help the air distribute it. Their brake ducts are a complete disaster right now. They made them too flimsy, and they're falling off the car. It might be another tough start for McLaren, and a bad start for new guy Andrea Stella, who gets
Just unfortunate given the talent that they have in that garage as well. So they could add so much more excitement to the field if the car was also looking, you know, ready to go. But, I mean,
also it
as of right now,
great.
It doesn't. So
I'm not a big fan of this McLaren livery. It's
too Google Chrome-y for me.
It's way too
Google Chrome. Hilarious. I wonder if they did that on purpose. That looks like that's their sponsor.
Look at that.
Okay, Alfa Romeo. I have to say, this car looks to me like a Matchbox car. I don't know.
I think it looks great.
You like it?
Yes. Personally, I love it.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's because
once
maybe...
again, I love it.
Yeah.
But that's just me. Yeah. So I don't know. The red and black.
And the red and black is solid.
I don't know. It just
looks
blends
mean.
Well.
It looks
in my
like
opinion.
It looks like a car that you would play with as a little kid.
This car looks good, and it looks good in testing. Yeah, it's been. You know, Fred Rizzer moves to Ferrari. There's no really true team principal. I mentioned that earlier. So they're kind of sharing power with the multiple departments of Alfa
Romeo. That'd be an interesting model to see if that works.
Yeah, we'll see if that kind of, I don't know what that's going to do.
I have a feeling that won't work. I'm just saying.
The monarchy of Alfa Romeo. I mean, they are a team who's being bought out in 2026 for Audi to come in.
Oh, okay.
So they kind of have, they don't have a little many years left to kind of put together something for Audi to be like, you know, hey, we have a good car. But I think this is a year that they can look to expand upon their two new drivers last year and build upon that. And I think they're going to put together some pretty good performances. You know, Bottas is a guy who's going to be relied upon as the team leader, like he was last year.
Of course.
He's going to put in some pretty good performances like he did last year. He's a pretty great driver. Zhou is another guy who I think is going to be, I think he might beat Bottas this year, just because he's looking, I mean, later in the season, the dude was the most unlucky guy ever. Yeah. The reliability of that Alfa Romeo car was just so bad. If they can fix how many times did they retire last year, I think they would have been I think both drivers could have been in maybe the top 10 of the Drivers' Championship. But I think that looks more real this year. They've kind of, the reliability still isn't great. Joe did have to stop with a couple red flags. So, and it is testing. They're figuring that out. But it is a little concerning for Alfa Romeo fans who were so tired of that reliability issue last year that they couldn't really put string together some races. But Joe looks pretty quick. And I'd be excited to see what he can do in his second year in that Alfa Romeo. And I think he'll put together some pretty good performances.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. That's the Alfa Romeo. That's the least exciting car for me. But
moving on to the all-exciting AMR 23, the Aston Martin.
I know. This is one.
Some surprises.
Yeah.
This car is quick. This car is really quick.
And they've got some good drivers.
It is testing. But they have put together a car that I think can fight for the top of the midfield.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
And I'd argue that testing last year gave us a decent, you know, look into how the season was going to go. I mean, not obviously everything, and it is just testing, but I think there'll be at least something that comes with this. I think we're going to see the Aston Martin fighting how testing is showing. So definitely exciting. It's always nice to add a team that hasn't been racing super well in the last few years up to the front, because it just shakes everything up. So
yep, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, Lawrence Stroll, he's kind of a villain, but he's an evil genius. He's a really smart guy, and
it's like the Lex Luthor, you know, of F1.
Yeah, he had that. Yeah, pretty much. He is going to succeed in this if it kills him. That's just how his approach is, and that's why he became a freaking billionaire in the first place. But he's been able to pick the pocket of a lot of teams in the paddock and kind of find the right guys to build his giant campus, is what he calls it, for I can't remember where exactly. It's like Oxford, for their giant, like, Formula One racing campus. And Dan Fallows leads the design of the AMR23 and ex-Red Bull aerodynamicist. So, you know, Lawrence Stroll's been able to pick out a lot of people from Red Bull, actually, have come from Red Bull to Aston Martin. So I don't think it's... If you dig into deep, I don't think it's too surprising that this car is good.
Yeah.
It is testing. We'll see how that actually plays out in the race or races. But, I mean, the reliability looks pretty good. The aero package that they have looks pretty strong. The engine is there. It's a Mercedes engine, so it looks pretty strong. All these components are there. They just have to put them into practice, and that's why they have Fernando Alonso and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he'll just drive the hell out of that car.
There's all the puzzle pieces for this AMR to look good is good, and I think that gives us, you know, we got a little hint of that like about halfway through the season last year when they started actually scoring some consistent points.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what the AMR can do. I wouldn't be surprised if they actually start jumping up ahead of teams earlier in the season, mm-hmm. because I think mm-hmm. that they have a good package this year.
Yeah. And assuming that the Aston Martin is an improvement from last year, which it obviously looks to be, a little sad that Seb couldn't have driven in this car.
Yeah.
No, sure. Yeah, that's a good point.
But at least we get to see Fernando Alonso driving this car, see what he can do. And like I said, if it is, if it lives up to his potential, then you're definitely going to see a guy like Alonso performing well yeah. in that car. So definitely yeah. exciting.
Yeah, they're definitely one of the teams that I guess is the underdog for this year. But, you know, Lawrence Stroll, he's got the five-year plan to win the world title. We're in year four of that, I think.
Well, that would be really interesting.
It's hard to keep up at this point.
I think we're in year three of that, actually. But, yeah.
Huh.
Aston Martin, kind of a question mark, but leaning towards, are they good? Are they good? I think they're good.
Speaking of, are they good? I think they're good. I want to root so bad for Haas. But yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Always
don't
want to root for Haas.
I know.
Just so hard to root for Haas.
It's hard to root for Haas. They're heartbreakers. But I do have to say I like their livery. I like it.
I was going
to
say, before we get into the technicals of the car, I do like the livery.
I think it looks cool.
Looks good. MoneyGram is their new title sponsor.
Okay.
Being biased as a Nebraska Huskers fan.
Yeah, it looks
here,
great.
We're here in Nebraska, yeah. middle of the United States for our listeners here. We like red and white and black.
Yep.
So love that look. But yeah I like the black on all the cars.
I do too, actually.
Touching on that again. But yeah, I like the livery for the Haas this year for sure.
Mm-hmm. And they got clowned on Twitter for their new pit wall, because it's like half the size. I don't know if you saw that on Twitter at all.
I didn't see that. It's like, I'll have to check after.
Literally cut in half. There's usually six seats. There's three. It's just this little like cubicle.
But that saves. Save cut corners. Save money.
Yeah, that saves them.
Oh man,
$250,000 on shipping. So that's going to be used towards development of the car. So any allocation mm-hmm. they can make for money goes straight to the car. So hopefully, the new driver pairing of Kevin Magnussen and Nico Hülkenberg can do. Will they
survive each other? That's my question. Aren't they like mortal enemies?
Well, we all know the quote.
Yeah.
We all know the quote. Are you going to give us the quote?
Yeah, give us the quote.
Suck my balls, mate. Yeah. So that was 2017 in Australia. Kevin Magnussen.
Oh, Kevin again. Magnussen, feisty.
Yeah. Most unsporting driver. Suck.
It has been a long time. I'm sure it'll be fine, but
they have to put it aside.
Of course, we like the drama.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
I don't think there's going to be much. Those two,
it'll be fine.
They are very reliable drivers. They don't wreck very much. They're pretty seasoned.
Very seasoned and mature. So,
and mm-hmm. you don't want Gene Haas pulling out his hair every time Mick Schumacher crashed the car,
right?
So, I think this is exactly what Haas need. A little mm-hmm. bit. I think they might fly under the radar, but that's okay with them. If they can consistently not score points, but consistently be competitive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's exactly what Haas are going to do this year for sure.
Yeah. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, yes, a lot of new young faces, but how exciting to add Nico back to the, mm-hmm. to the
absolutely
grid as well. For sure. So
yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, definitely going to be more reliable as far as drivers come this year. Sad to see Schumacher.
I know
out, it is, but I mean, if you can't perform, you can't perform. Nope. So
can't crash.
It
cars.
Is what it is. Nope. Nico, welcome back, and see what Haas can do. See if they can get in the mix a little bit.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I always want to root for Haas. I just always do. And they started mm-hmm. off last season, they started off kind of strong and doing cool, fun things. And then, it got weird fast.
Yeah, they plateaued very quickly.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can kind of stay on top of the upgrade packages that they have scheduled to bring, like other teams. But they're kind of an open book as well. Who knows what they're going to do with their new driver pairing. It'd be fun to see them do well.
Yeah.
Maybe they won't.
That's I know.
Kind of Haas's
deal. It could
be
a disaster, or it could be I think amazing.
Before every season, I think we have a lot of hope for the Haas. Mm-hmm. Signs point to them doing better, mm-hmm. but it's Haas, so I don't know what's going to happen with them.
You never know.
Never
just
know.
Just let it play out. No reason to predict anything there.
Yeah.
So now we move on to the AlphaTauri, and usually I want to talk all about AlphaTauri, but right now I just want to say,
Pierre Gasly's gone. The livery I think looks really good. When they launched it, I was like, I don't know about this. But
no,
it's
I like it's clean.
The red mm-hmm. and the wheel wells.
Yeah, the hint of red in there with the wheel wells, I agree. I like that a lot.
Big fan.
Definitely an improvement from last year at least.
yeah, I like those. And
yeah, it's a better look for sure. I like the navy blue.
Yeah, Orlin comes
or is that navy?
Yeah, it's like navy blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
navy blue,
a midnight blue.
Yeah, it looks way better on track than it does in like the CGI renderings. But yeah, it looks pretty sweet. Looks pretty fast.
And how will Nyck de Vries drive this car?
Better than Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah, I know. I think you talked about it already, but I think Yuki is the one that needs to be worried about his job, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yuki's on the chopping block this year. Nyck de Vries is a seasoned rookie is mm-hmm. Is like the best way I can describe him. He won F Formula E. He won F2. He's just been waiting for a drive, and this is his chance. And he's Dutch too, so that he's got a lot to live up to. And the other Dutch driver on the grid. But dude seems like an absolute assassin. And Yuki, I would be a little scared for.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. But I mean, when you look down the list,
this is going to be Yuki's hardest season in any motorsport that he's ever done. This is going to be his hardest year ever because he doesn't have his buddy anymore, his advocate in the paddock. Gasly's gone. His team leader of the team is completely gone.
And he's not a leader.
He needs to step up is what needs to happen. And Nyck de Vries smells blood in the water, and he's going to jump at that because he's European. So I think I don't know if there's going to be a lot of drama but there's going to be a lot of, you know, some dirty looks in the paddock, maybe. Yeah. Maybe some stiff eyebrows. But, you know, they seem to kind of have a okay car. I mean, they had a terrible car last year. Nyck de Vries is a guy who in testing at least has been giving the mechanics and engineers really great feedback on the car. Franz Tost is basically quoting saying, so the engineers are like all pissed off that Nyck de Vries is like, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But Franz Tost is basically saying, well, we were ninth last year. Look, we were last year. Mm-hmm. I'm not listening to you. Let's try something else. Right. Nyck de Vries seems like a guy who knows what he's doing. He is providing some pretty great feedback for the engineers to fix things. And I think Nyck de Vries is going to be not a lot better than Tsunoda, but I think it's going to be pretty clear. Pretty early on, Nyck de Vries is going to be, I think he's a stud, and he's here to stay for the long haul. And, he sees this as a launch stone for his career. And, this is going to be a thing for Nyck de Vries to look back on and say, yeah, I absolutely conquered this AlphaTauri. And, I think he might surprise some people this year.
All right. Well, we've got to the end.
The Williams. So I base this ranking off of last year's constructors. That's why it's, I guess, not in order of like who's best in testing, but just who was in last year. So Williams was 10th because they were 10th and they were 10th last year. They got 2 points. 2 points?
Did they even get 2 points?
They got like,
they did.
No, because... They got more. They got more, right?
Well, one of their, yeah, it was.
They got more. They got like
Alex
eight.
Albon.
They got like eight.
Okay.
They got like six or eight.
Because it's Sargeant that scored points in the Williams?
Yeah, I feel like it was.
No, Nyck de Vries.
No, Nyck de Vries scored in the Williams.
Yes.
Oh, so many new faces, so much going on. It's hard to remember who's who, what's what.
They didn't get double digits, so they got like, I think, 6 or 8 points, but whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm actually pretty excited about what the Williams can do this year. They're kind of, I don't think a lot of people are expecting a lot from them after their, you know, poor form last year with Mr. Latifi, but they've they've brought in a new driver and Logan Sargeant, first American driver since Alexander Rossi.
It'll really be interesting to see what he looks like in a Formula One car.
So we'll see. Alex Albon is, if you're talking about teammates, he's a pretty good guy. He's a great teammate to have if you're a rookie. Mm-hmm. He knows what it's like to drive some of the hardest driving cars in Formula One, and Alex Albon's a great driver, and I think Logan can learn a lot from Alex Albon. James Vowles is the new boss there at Williams. I'm really excited to see what he looks like, how he changes things, how he changes the dynamic at Williams. Former race engineer and strategist at Braun GP, the legend that is Braun GP when they won the 2009 Constructors or World title with Jenson Button.
It'll be
and interesting. Then he you know was with the Mercedes family since 2010 when Braun GP was reformed as Mercedes. So I'm really excited to see kind of what Vowels can bring, like a new attitude towards them, like a little more edgier.
Yeah.
Because I think they've kind of been the pillow of the paddock for a while. Maybe, I don't know if that's the case, but I think they're going to have a little bit more edge to them. They're like a wool pillow now. Yeah. They're a little itchy.
They're itchy.
Yeah.
How exciting for Logan to have three home races this year.
Yeah.
I know.
Vegas, Austin, and Miami. Yeah, exciting, but also nerve-wracking.
Oh, my God. Of course. Think of the... It's going to be ridiculous to have an American driver in those races. Oh, my God. It's going to be nuts.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be exciting, obviously, as we're here in the U.S. to see how the U.S. fans... support Logan and just how that goes. So hopefully he at least has one successful. If he can score points in a United States Grand Prix, one of the three chances, that'd be really exciting. But obviously in the Williams, you got to step
possible.
Up.
So it's possible. I mean, they are some of the they gained about 2.4 seconds from last year's testing, which it is testing, but that's a huge improvement from last year. And, and Alex Albon and Logan Sargeant or Alex Albon's. I guess because he drove last year, he's been saying that the car is day and night better from last year. I think the car looks great. They have their new title sponsor is Gulf, so I thought they'd maybe go with a more Gulf color, like the orange and like lighter blue, like we saw in the McLarens kind of sported in 2021 in Monaco. That was like the far out hope for them, but they've kind of stuck with this like primsical, like blue and red, and I think it looks pretty classy, but we'll see what this Williams can do. I mean, I'm excited to see if they don't get the wooden spoon this year. I hope they can fight for some more points.
Yeah
more points.
More. that's the key. More points. Well, I mean, I guess I'll be kind of rooting for the American. I don't know. We'll see how I feel about it. I'll watch this weekend and see what happens. But I'm still kind of, you know, my heart is in France a little bit.
This weekend.
It's weekend,
right here.
Yeah. Yahoo! So Sunday. Can't wait.
Bahrain. Here we go, man. Here we go.
All right. What do we predict? Nolan.
Well, Max Verstappen is going to kick everyone's ass. Lewis Hamilton is going to come P2. I think that's going to be a surprise. I don't know if he'll qualify well, but it's Lewis Hamilton. He always races pretty well. And I think that car is suited towards this track. I mean, it's got some pretty fast corners, got some places where this car can excel. And I think that this is going to be a track to watch out for Mercedes. And I think they're going to make a statement in Bahrain.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Love it.
And then Carlos Sainz is my finish off the podium for me because I just like Carlos Sainz. And I think
he looks like Carlos Sainz.
I'm just going to say that he looked better in testing. So yeah, in Drive to Survive season 5, he says, I'm going to go full Latino mode. And I think he's going to go full Latino mode.
That's so funny.
Oh my God.
I love that. Whatever that means. I do think Max Verstappen's going to win this race. I hate saying that because I really want someone else to win, but I don't know. And then I'm going to just go for, I think Charles Leclerc looked so good last year in so many races, and then he didn't look good in so many other races. But when he's competitive and when he's out there, he looks really strong. And so I'm just curious to see where he lands. And then I think George Russell is going to beat out Lewis Hamilton. I think Lewis Hamilton, I don't know. I think Lewis Hamilton is not done by any means, but I think George Russell is thirsty.
Okay.
He is. He's thirsty. Mm-hmm. Not to be boring, but Max Verstappen at number one. What a crazy prediction.
If he wins,
at least we'll all have been right.
Yep.
Then I have George Russell at second. I'd love to put Lewis there, but I'm just going to... I don't know, George Russell. He's impressive. I don't know. We'll see what happens here.
Lewis has got a chip.
I know.
It's right here.
I know. He
does. Right here. I'm pointing to my shoulder. It's right here.
I also didn't want to copy you on your one too. So I was like, I'll throw Russell. Throw second. Russell. I like that. And then with how good that Red Bull's looking, I mean, Sergio, he knows he needs to be like, that guy. He needs to be like right there. If Max can do it, he can do it. That's his mindset. I know it's Max Verstappen, but that doesn't mean Sergio is not going to be hungry to be right there,
yeah,
if not better. Absolutely. Not saying he will be. I'm just saying he'll be hungry for it. And that car is fast enough that he's going to have plenty of chances. So Sergio Perez there at third. And then we'll see. I don't know. But it's obviously very easy to put Max Verstappen at one. So.
Yeah. Well, here we go.
Yeah. Any random season-long predictions?
Oh, my God. I
Alonso podium in Spain.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
prediction. I like the chances of Alonso getting a podium for sure this year if that Aston Martin can live up to the preseason expectations that we've been given now. Mm-hmm. So,
Well, it has to work out for Aston Martin, all the money they spent and all the stuff that Lawrence has been talking. So it's got to pony up, dude. You got to get some results, and I think this is the year to do it for them.
Yeah,
so,
it'll be interesting to see where they land.
Be excited for them.
Yeah. I think if that Red Bull's as fast as it should be, I think Perez will be right there. I think at some point there's going to be some more Max and Checo drama. And personally, I'm all here for it.
I know.
I love the drama. So bring it on.
I know.
Let's see what happens. It's going to be an exciting year. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a wild prediction yet. I need to watch this week and see what the cars look like.
No,
and
just say something.
Say something. I don't know. I think Haas is actually going to land a little higher than normal.
There we go.
I hope so.
I think they'll land in the middle.
Let's all manifest it.
Right, I can't now. Be I opposed to that.
I'll manifest Haas being better than.
I just think those normal. Drivers are. Kevin Magnussen was such a strong driver last year. He really, really was. But they just could not land any points because it just seemed like Schumacher just constantly was pulling them backwards. Not because he's a bad driver. He just was young and was making bad mistakes. But we'll see. I think Haas is going to do better than we think. That's what I think.
I wouldn't be opposed to that.
I would not be opposed to that.
All right.
And let's go.
Less than a week. Here
Can't
we go.
Wait.
Less than a week on Sunday.
So we'll see you next time. And let's go Formula One.
See you at Bahrain.